Let's take our Bibles. We'll turn in them to Matthew and chapter 13. Matthew chapter 13. And we'll be reading the whole chapter, verses 1 through 58. Matthew 13, and beginning in verse 1. God's people, these are the words of the living and true God, so give your attention to them. On the same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the sea, and great multitudes were gathered together to him, so that he got into a boat and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places, where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up, because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said to him, Why do you speak to them in parables? He answered and said to them, Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has, will be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, Hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn so that I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Therefore hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in the heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. But he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation and persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like a man who sowed good seed in his field, but while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. But when the grain had sprouted and produced the crop, then the tares also appeared. So the servants of the owner came and said to him, Sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have tares? He said to them, An enemy has done this. The servant said to him, Do you want us then to go and gather them up? But he said, No, lest while you gather up the tares, you also uproot the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And at the time of harvest, I will say to the reapers, First gather together the tares and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. Another parable he put forth to them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all the seeds. But when it is grown, it is greater than the herbs and becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and nest in its branches. Another parable he spoke to them. The kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till it was all leavened. All these things Jesus spoke to the multitudes in parables, and without parable he did not speak to them, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things kept secret from the world. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house. And his disciples came to him, saying, Explain to us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said to them, He who sows the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom, but the tares are the sons of the wicked one. The enemy who sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the age, and the reapers are the angels. Therefore, as the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so it will be at the end of the age, of this age. The Son of Man will send out his angels, and they will gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and those who practice lawlessness, and will cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. And the righteous will shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field which a man found and hid, and for joy over it goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a dragnet that was cast into the sea and gathered some of every kind, which when it was full, they drew to shore, and they sat down and gathered the good into vessels, but threw the bad away. So it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come forth, separate the wicked from among the just, and cast them into the furnace of fire. There will be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Jesus said to them, Have you understood all these things? They said to him, Yes, Lord. And he said to them, Therefore every scribe instructed concerning the kingdom of heaven is like a householder who brings out of his treasure things new and old. Now it came to pass, when Jesus had finished these parables, that he departed from there. When he had come to his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, so that they were astonished and said, Where did this man get this wisdom and these mighty works? Is this not the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary? And his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Where then did this man get all these things? So they were offended at him. But Jesus said to them, A prophet is not without honor except in his own country and in his own house. Now he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief. And those are God's words. And as we think just a little bit of this passage going off of what we heard last Lord's Day as Jesus in chapter 12 was preaching himself as opposed to all the false gospels, that he is the true gospel, he alone. And here he preaches to these multitudes in parables. He does so, verse 11, because it says, to some the revealing of the kingdom of heaven has been given, and to others it hasn't been given. You see, the reasons of the parables of the kingdom in verses 10 through 17, and then also in verses 34 and 35. In this passage, there are eight parables that Jesus proclaims to teach about the kingdom of heaven. The first, in verses 3 through 9, is the parable of the seed that's scattered on different soils, or the parable of the sower, to communicate the many hindrances people can have of being blessed by God's word. That's explained in verses 18 to 23. And then there's the parable of the wheat and tares in verses 24 to 30, as well as the parable of the net cast into the sea, verses 47 and 50, which both teach that there are true believers in the church, in the kingdom, and those who are not. And that will continue until the judgment day. Verses 31 and 32 of the parable of the mustard seed, as well as the parable of leaven, verse 33, are given to show that Christ's church will be small at first, but over time his bride will grow to be considerably great. And then the parable of the treasure hidden in the field, verse 44, and the parable of the pearl of great price, verses 45 and 46, they show that those who should expect salvation in Christ must be willing to quit all, sell all, give all, for Christ. You have to be willing to do such. And if you've understood these parables, then make use of their instructions, beloved. And that is what we're called to in the parable of the good householder, verses 51 and 52. Verse 52 says, "And he said to him, therefore, every scribe instructed concerning the kingdom of heaven is like a householder who brings out of his treasure things new and old." The last verses then described Jesus' teaching and his response to his fellow countrymen, those people from that region where he grew up and was born. The last verse is a warning to us in the church today. "Now he did not do many mighty works there because of their unbelief." And so you're encouraged this evening to put on faith that Christ would do his mighty works amongst us, even the saving of souls. Let's pray. Our gracious Father, we come before your throne. We plead for your help. We ask that you would help our unbelief. Just as John said, "I believe, help my unbelief." And Father, we do believe. We believe the gospel of Jesus Christ. We believe that he died for our sins there on the cursed cross. And on the third day he rose from the dead again, bodily, physically. And now he sits enthroned in glory, as we heard this morning. And we give you praise for this. We believe this, but yet help our unbelief, because we every day enter into sin, and every day we forget the gospel. We put it aside, or we lay it aside, and we take up our ways, our wants, when we should be following after your ways and your wants alone. To be living sacrifices, as Romans 12 says, living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to you and acceptable to you. Father, this is our desire. We desire that you would free us from the bondage of sin, and you would clothe us with the righteousness of Christ, and that you would turn us from our sin. And Father, we come confessing our sins. We've broken your commandments, all of them, in thought, word, and deed. And yet you say, as we confess our sins, that you are faithful and just to forgive us of our sins in your Son, Jesus Christ, because we have our advocate, Jesus Christ, the righteous one, who pleads for us, who is our righteousness. And so receive us as we prayed already, receive us for Christ's sake. It's not that we come based on our own merit. We do not. We come based upon the merit and the righteousness alone of Jesus Christ, both in his life and his death. And so, Father, receive us because of him. And fill us with your Holy Spirit, who is in our hearts, who's that temple. And we are, even our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So help us, Father, that we would not quench or grieve the Spirit, even in this time as we worship you. That you continue to sanctify us, cleanse us, that is, wash us with the pure water of the Word. Feed us and provide for us, even with the bread of life, Jesus Christ. The bread of life, your Word. For we know man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of your mouth, even as it comes through the preacher, as we hear this evening. And so, Father, fill us and provide for us. Yet through it also, protect us. Protect us from ourselves, our fleshly nature, which continues to long after sin. As Paul says, he does what he does not want to do. And that what he does not want to do, he keeps on doing. And Father, may you turn us from that way as we fight against our flesh by your Spirit and through the Word. Cleanse us of our sin. We know that you will make us whiter than snow. And we look forward to that day when we will enter into glory and there'll be no more sin. No more pain or tears or weaknesses. For we will be perfect in holiness and glorified in your Son, Jesus Christ. What hope we have in that time, and we ask that you would bring it about at the right time for each one of us. And we acknowledge that you number our days. And we may fear these days because of the virus, but Father, we acknowledge that you've numbered each one of our days. And so we trust you, we trust your plan, we trust this judgment that you've brought upon this nation and even the world. Because your church has turned from you. Your church has sinned against you and committed idolatry before your face. And so, Father, we ask even in worship, we ask that you would cleanse us of our sin. Cleanse us of all idolatries. And so we ask that you would especially be with the elders of this congregation and help us, grow us in wisdom with your word and make us submissive to Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, in all things. Father, we praise you today as we pray this morning for the Denison congregation and Caleb Allen. We praise you that they did call him and a near unanimous vote in that. And we thank you for that and ask that you would be with them as they move forward in the process, even for Caleb's ordination and exam soon. Father, we ask that you would continue to be with the other churches as we've prayed and bring to them the man of God that you desire of them and for them. And then, Father, we ask that you'd protect your people. Protect us from the evils of this world. And, Father, bring about justice for all those to whom have been sinned against, crimes have been committed against them. Father, we ask that you would bring about your pure, unadulterated justice, even at the right time. Maybe in this life, as we know, but surely in the life to come. And we would trust your vengeance. As you say, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. It is not ours, and so let us have a peaceable spirit, a love for our brothers and sisters in Christ, but also a love for our neighbor, all that we come in contact with. And so help us, Father, in all this. It is very difficult to love all people, for we have our own selfish and prideful wants and desires, and we often respond to things with anger or bitterness or worry and anxiety. Father, help us and turn us to yourself, knowing that the grace that you shower upon us, we plead for it all the more. We're thankful for your grace that you give us and that you're always forgiving us in Christ your Son. And this we praise you for and give glory to your name. And so help us now as we continue worshiping you and praising your name. Give us the grace to do so according to your word and with our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.